we're all different. Your perfect is not my perfect. Somebody wants to be near theater and bustling restaurants, and somebody else wants a view of horses in the pasture. And I don't know who you are. You know who you are inside. So why are you living in the wrong place where you can be more intentional? And I think what I would like this book to do is wake people up, stir them up a little bit, and ask them to be intentional about the rest of their life.
Hey, midlifers. Welcome to the Midlife Makeover Show. Are you ready to break free from your mundane midlife? Are you feeling trapped in a vicious cycle of rinse and repeat days? No matter if you're experiencing a divorce hangover, job burnout, or you just have the midlife blues, I got you. Hey, I'm Wendy, your hostess of the Midlife Mostest. I too was hit by midlife like a freight train. I too felt stuck in the same dull chapter. I wanted the clarity of how to create a new life beyond divorce and the courage to leave an unfulfilling career. But I kept telling myself that I wasn't worthy and it was just easier to stay in my comfort zone until I found a little secret, the freedom to live my life my way. In this podcast, you will learn how to achieve a vibrant midlife mind and body, how to create solid relationships through love and loss, and how to create an awesome second half of life. Grab your grande latte, pop in your earbuds, and let's get this midlife party started. Grab your Sharpie because it's time to set solid, permanent boundaries in your relationships and in your life. And why do you need boundaries? Boundaries tell the world where you draw the line, where you say yes and where you say no. Studies have shown that people who have healthy boundaries have higher self-esteem, greater confidence, less burnout, a greater sense of identity, and less stress. Being clear with your boundaries means you are clear with who you are and how you live your life. To help you set clear boundaries, I created a free guidebook called the Boundary Boss Blueprint. Please go to wendyvalentine.com/boundary to receive your free download so you too can be a boundary boss with less stress, higher self-esteem, and greater health and happiness. Welcome back to the Midlife Makeover Show. On today's episode, we are not only going to talk about making over your midlife, but making over your home life. It's all tied together, really, if you think about it. As many of you know, I made over my midlife and home life 2 years ago. I went from living in a 1,200 square foot condo in Chicago, overlooking an ugly parking lot, to a 120 square foot RV overlooking wherever I want. Today, actually, we're in Malibu overlooking the ocean, so not too shabby. I also went from having a house full of big furniture to an RV with a little Murphy bed that pops out of the wall and a little dinette table, which I am actually sitting here right now recording this podcast. I used to have a huge closet. Huge, you guys, of fancy clothes and sexy but very uncomfortable high heels, to now only having a small closet of comfy elastic pants, tank tops, and flip-flops. I also went from debt, depression, divorce, and a dreadful corporate job to now being happy, free, and fulfilling my purpose in life as a writer, podcaster, and your personal midlife cheerleader. So yes, making over your home life goes hand in hand with making over your midlife. Today's episode isn't about me, though. Oh gosh, I wish it was. No, I'm just kidding. It's about you. It's about how you too can create a life you love by creating a home that you love in your second half of life. Our guest today, Marnie Jameson, will help you do just that. Marnie is a nationally syndicated home design columnist, award-winning journalist, speaker, and frequent TV guest. Her humorous and helpful column, At Home with Marnie Jameson, appears weekly in 24 papers nationwide, reaching several million readers and more through social media and her blog. Her fans include readers who have been following the author's home adventures for 2 decades. She has been featured on such primetime shows as NBC Nightly News and Fox and Friends. Wow. She is the author of 7 books, you go girl, including Downsizing the Family Home, What to Save, What to Let Go, a number one Amazon bestseller that won numerous awards. Marnie's recent book, Right Size Today to Create Your Best Life Tomorrow, is a gentle guide for helping readers over a certain age, quote unquote, discover their best life by finding the right size home in the best location. This book is designed to help those who are stuck explore what's holding them back and provide them with the insights, experiences, and courage to move forward. Marnie, welcome to the show.
Wow, what an introduction. As we were talking before the show, I wish you had been in my book because you like broke all the molds and lived it and are doing it.
I did it. I was everyone's guinea pig. I'll do it. Yeah.
Yay.
And was it worth it? It was so freaking worth it.
Look at you. I mean, it's just ideal, clean, spare, edited to your life. I mean, you're living the dream. This is the goal.
Living my dream. I didn't know that this full thing would be my dream. You know, like I had an idea, but I think that's something to really point out to everyone that you don't really know until you start to make that leap. Like things will start to reveal themselves to you. And one of the things I noticed about myself in this whole journey, as far as like where to live, which we'll talk about this more, is for me, I like to be near water. And I mean, it sounds so silly, but just that alone, like as I'm talking to you right now, I'm looking out the passenger side window of the RV and I can see the ocean and it just brings me peace. And it makes sense then when I lived in Phoenix for so many years, why I was so miserable because there's no water.
Sometimes the swimming pool won't do it.
I know. Exactly. Yeah. So how do you help people kind of like just start, like how do they know, like where, I don't know where to go or what to do. And I would say more importantly, how do you avoid that overwhelm of making that leap into moving to somewhere new?
Wow. Well, that is the question, isn't it?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, when you started out talking about that, we're all different. Your perfect is not my perfect. Somebody wants to be near theater and bustling restaurants, and somebody else wants a view of horses in the pasture. And I don't know who you are. You know who you are inside. So why are you living in the wrong place where you can be more intentional? And I think what I would like this book to do is wake people up, stir them up a little bit, and ask them to be intentional about the rest of their life. Because this book was sort of written for people who are getting to that threshold where if they've had children, they're out of the house, thank God. And if they have a job, they've left it, or they can work from home, or they're on the verge of retirement, or they're retired. And you know, so many people stay put in a home that they bought because they could afford it at some point just in their life. And then they got it because it was close to a job they were commuting to, or it was close to the kids' schools where the kids no longer go. And then they end up stuck with all the big furniture you talked about and the Cub Scout uniforms in the attic, and everything overwhelms and they just get in rip bound. And they're not, and every, you know, the job is inapplicable. The neighborhood has changed. The kids don't care. So what are you doing there? And I'm asking people to just shake it up. And you know, the thing you hear is it's too much trouble.
Yes.
And if I hear that, my hair stands on end because this is your life. You need to work it out.
You're worth it, right? You're worth it.
Yeah. What else are you doing here?
The basement. Yeah.
Right. Well, you're here because you've got too much stuff in your basement. Let's start with that. So I guess it's sort of a kick in the pants to get people to wake up and just really reimagine. And you can do it from the safety of your chair without packing a box. And you start asking yourself really deep questions like, what do I care about and by how much? So if you've read the book, you know they're in the very beginning, they're exercises. And it's really a deep dive into what matters to you. Do you want to be close to your family? Now, 7% of people say they want to be farther from family. And that's all I'm going to say about that, right?
Yeah.
What? And, you know, do you just like start do I want to be near things that are important to me, like painting classes or a church or and a better educational systems or whatever it is? Like, what is it, what's important? And then it also gives you, you don't have to do really hard math, but it gives you a value, a weighted average. So, well, being near family is a five, but, you know, good having four seasons, well, maybe it's just a two. You know, some people want to move to snow. Some people want to move away from snow. I don't know what you want, but you do. So then it really helps you start to envision that perfect place. And that's the start, like geographically, where should you live? And then in what? Like a house, an RV, a townhome, a cabin, a cottage, a beach house? I don't know.
Even things to think about, like maybe you're tired of doing all the housework, you know, or not the housework, well, that too, but the yard work.
The yard.
Like maybe you don't want to maintain a yard. Like it's like all those things you have to think about and what's going to matter to you. And I would guess to your partner.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ask them what they want.
Factor that in. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And I would say too, you know, and I've thought about this for myself, like with my kids. So my kids, like I have three boys, one lives in Virginia, one's in Arizona, one's in California. And I mean, no matter what, I got to travel to go see them or they got to travel to come see me anyways. And I've recently decided, you know, to move to Portugal. So I'm like, well, why not? And I've always wanted to live in another country.
Wow.
Yeah. So the thing is too, here's one thing to keep in mind. No matter what you decide to do, no matter where you decide to move, everything is temporary. At any point you could go, you know what? I really don't like living here now. Like I'd like to go somewhere else. I think that's the beauty of the second half of life. You do have more freedom. You're not tied down as much as we were before. Like you were saying too, because the kids were in school or maybe the job would keep you there. Like maybe you're nearing retirement. You don't have to be stuck. Or a lot of people are working remotely now.
Mm-hmm.
And that opens up so much. Or if you're looking for a job, like you can look for a job that you can do anywhere in the world. So it really is, I would think, a lot of self-reflection when you're deciding where to go.
You bring a really good point, make a really good point that, you know, it's a decision tree. And and one of the first questions the book asks you to look at is, should I stay or should I go? Mm. Like you might be living in the right place, in the right house. Maybe you retrofit it so you can have grandchildren over or you can live downstairs more because your knees don't like to go upstairs anymore. I don't know. But you might stay put and you might be in the perfect place or you might be in the right town, but maybe you should have a different house. Okay, fine. But stay or go is decision number one. And I have examples in the second part of my book of people who've right-sized or tried to right-size or thought about right-sizing or took the test, didn't take the test, whatever. And one gal, she made a move out of Colorado to Florida and she didn't stick the landing. So it's important that she know, and she does know, that it wasn't that she wasn't supposed to move, it's that she hit the wrong place. So it wasn't like she should go back and start over. It's still right to move. Doesn't mean both decisions were wrong. There's a decision to go.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yep.
So she can course correct and we can course correct. And what you did was so beautiful in that you got rid of so much furniture and that helps you be nimble. And most people just can't pick up and go because they're like, oh, the furniture so much. There's ways to deal with it. Don't let your furniture govern your life. You can let it go. So anyway, I like people who can be nimble and also course correct, adapt, and like, well, it wasn't a mistake. It was a learning experience. So I'm going to do it this way because now I know what I did wrong.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's interesting. So when the job that I took in Chicago for a couple of years was selling homes, they were like, basically like, I used to call them cookie cutter homes, but but one of the communities I worked in was for people that were downsizing, which was funny because these homes were still like 2,500 square feet, but they were downsizing for these people. Right. But they had like a couple bedrooms or whatever. And it's funny. So as soon as the look on their face, as soon as they decided, yes, we're going to make this move, we're going to move into a new neighborhood, we're building a new house, it's smaller, half the size of what we're used to before. And then they get this look on their face of complete fear. They're like, how are we going to get rid of all that stuff in the basement and the attic? And what about that extra bedroom furniture? And oh my God, and all the memory. There was just fear that would come over them. And I'm like, I would tell them, listen, you come into this world with nothing, you will leave with nothing, right? Like, and once you get rid of all of that stuff, you'll forget about it, because then you're in a new place with new energy and new light. And I think what's really cool too, is that when you're moving into a new home and in the second half of life, it's up to you or you and your partner. Like, you're not having to design a home for babies or for, you know, like for, okay, we're going to need an extra bedroom, some day, whatever, like it's for you. And then it's just like, it gives you so much freedom, I think, to do what you want with the home.
And I think, and you know, so many people think, oh, getting older is so awful. But, you know, in the beginning, it's like a hope and a prayer. And afterward, it's a fait accompli. You're like, I had the kids. I know how many I had. I know how many. I don't need to think about what if I never get pregnant? What if I have triplets? What if I, you know, there's a lot of what if I's. And you don't have that anymore. It's like, we know it happened.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, you don't always know if they're going to boomerang back, but you know, if mother-in-law is moving in, but for the most part, you kind of, it's set, you know what you need. So,
you know, and yeah, one thing that would come up with a lot of my customers during that time was, well, we have, you know, with the grandkids come and visit or our kids and, oh, well, we're going to need those extra bedrooms. And, you know, if they come home during the holidays, I'm like, so you're going to buy extra space and pay extra taxes for that maybe once a year they come home. Trust me, they'd probably rather be in an Airbnb. Take that money and just get an Airbnb for them. Like, it would be so much better. But we do, like, we start to design our homes for everybody else and leave ourselves last.
It's a lot to carry. And some people, I'm on the fence about that, because I tend to want to be that, the matriarch that's the center that everybody comes home to. Yep. And I remarried, and I'm a widower, and he has three grown children, and I had two. And so we have five. And his kids have kids, and you know, people are getting married and having babies, and you know, it's a lot of people. And we thought, well, you know, and we do have a fairly good sized house, but they don't want to come when the other people are there.
Yeah,
you know, my kids don't really want to hang with his grown up kids and their kids. You know, they didn't grow up together, so to throw them all upstairs and have them sharing a bathroom is, they're like, no, they want no part of it. These are adults. So,
yeah, it's true. Like, oh. But you know, you're so right, though. So, like, for some people, they want to have that extra space, and that's totally cool. Or they don't. Like, but that's something, I guess, to ask yourself. And very rarely do we stop and ask ourselves, "What do I want? What do I truly want?"
Or is it working?
Yeah,
you may have gotten and designed just what you want, and then you look upstairs and you're like, "Well, nobody's here. Why do we have all these rooms?" You know, like
exactly cleaning all those extra rooms.
Right. So I think that what we're talking about is the importance of continually assessing, continually reevaluating, and I've written, as you know, several books, and I've written in downsizing the family home, downsizing the blended home. When you get two people, like my husband and myself, we had two fully loaded houses, trying to blend them. And so one house plus one house has to equal one house. You got to get rid of a whole house. And that's a negotiation. So every single phase of your life, downsizing is, I hate even the word, that's why I like right sizing, but it is a ongoing process. Mm-hmm. It is not a one and done. You don't just clean everything out and then, you know, put a bow on it and it stays there. It's all the time. Every time you're in your closet, every time you're in your pantry, every time you're in your garage, every time you're in anywhere, toss, purge, and ask, and you know, assess, do I need this? Do I love this? Do I use this? And you continue to have this sort of editing process going on in your life and make it a lifestyle. And right sizing should be a lifestyle. So you don't wake up one day and just go, oh, I can't move because I got so much stuff.
Yep. No, I totally agree. And, you know, in the RV world, there's a rule that if you bring something in the RV, something must go out of the RV.
So get advice. Let me tell you,
I was the queen of buying knickknacks and like just miscellaneous crap. It was so stupid. Like, I'm a sucker for gift shops. I'd be like, oh my God, it is so cute. I would just buy like, look at this little cup, or I was so dumb. And I got rid of all of that. I can barely remember all of it, but now everything is so much simpler for me. And as busy as I am, I need that. And I think that's something else to think about. Like, how much time and energy do you want to spend on your stuff? If you want to spend all your time and energy on your stuff, totally cool. But maybe you don't. Like you said, you have to kind of like evaluate and assess every now and then to decide, okay, is this working for me still?
Right. Everything you have takes energy to and money to store, the real estate it takes up to maintain, to think about replacing, to figure out where it goes, to insure, and every single thing. And so, and also to look through to find the thing that you really want. And it takes up a lot of headspace. So if, you know, I'm not, and I don't live like a monk. I love my things, and I have a lot of beautiful things, and I, you know, don't have to give them up. Thank goodness. But I'm willing to, I just sold yesterday. I had this French tapestry that I had in my life for like 20 years. I bought it in France. I have this really cute story. And my kids were little. It was pouring rain, and I'm in this gorgeous shop in France, and they had tapestries in China, and I wanted so badly to shop, but my girls were just going to wreck the place. They were like 6 and 8 or something. I'm like, I can't shop. I want so badly to shop. And the owner was brilliant. He sat my girls down with 2 cups of hot chocolate and a basket of kittens. And they were completely amused. And I bought this glorious French tapestry, right? Because I had the time to shop, and he was so brilliant about taking care of them. And so I, you know, it has a story, but I'm over the tapestry phase. I don't want that old world look anymore. It is another decade. It's been 2 decades. So I sold it yesterday for $250 to a French antiques guy. It's not a French antique, but he bought it anyway. Anyway, I have the story. And I don't have any problem getting rid of that. So even though it's like, it's a sweet little, so what? Doesn't matter. It's a thing.
Yeah, I know. And I think that that's such a good point. The story lives within you anyways.
In the picture.
Yeah, exactly. And for me, it was tough because I was going through so many things, and I would, you know, I'd pick up something. I'm like, oh my God, I remember. And I was like, for like 15 minutes, I'd waste sitting there looking at the damn thing, trying to decide what to do with it. And then eventually I was like, okay, let's remember this. Let's hold on to it. But then I started thinking of if there was something that had such a good energy and love that was attached to it, then I was giving that to somebody else. I was handing that over, right? Like the love was being recycled, if you will, out into the universe. So I started like, oh, I'm giving this love to someone, you know, it was like monetary, if you will, like, okay, I'm giving this to someone. So then it made me feel better that I was giving something great back to the world.
I just did a column a couple weeks ago about a group that makes quilts for kids who are not growing. They're literally stunting in Tanzania because they're cold, and all the food they eat goes to keep their body warm. They have very few clothes, and they sit on the cold ground. So this whole group, it's a big world relief effort, and they made 194,000 quilts last year for around the world. For Tanzania. I thought it was just sort of quaint, but when I got into it, I'm like, holy cow. They're helping kids develop. They're keeping people warm. They're tents for people who've lost their house through war. Anyway, you need to donate sheets to these people. Need your used sheets.
Wow, I have goosebumps. That is so cool.
If you have a road apple for a heart. If this doesn't make you run into your linen closet and figure out what sheets can go, because they want all kings and twins and fitted, doesn't matter, pillowcases, send them all along. Yeah. They use the sheets for the back of the quilt. And they also want your discarded fabric. So to your point, if you have something that can help somebody else, it's just clogging up your closet, clogging up your house, and you could repurpose it. Take your towels to a pet shelter. They need to wash their little, those little critters they rescue and give them baths and dry them off with nice toweling. Doesn't have to be nice to them. It's just good, you know, terry towel. Get rid of it and it benefit the world and your house at one time.
No matter if you just got served with divorce papers, got fired from your job, or ran out of gas in the pouring rain, bad days are bound to happen. They happen to all of us. The key is to not let bad days turn into bad weeks, bad months, and a bad chapter in life. Too many crappy days can lead to depression, anxiety, lack of sleep, poor behaviors, and one big funky funk. That's why I created the 8 Happiness Hacks, a free download to help you overcome a bad day quickly and get you back to rocking your midlife. Please go to wendyvalentine.com/happiness to receive your free download and start applying these simple yet effective methods to bring happy days your way.
Yeah, I ended up, like, most of my clothes went to women's shelters or women that were trying to, like, get back on their feet and get a career going. And so I'd have all my fancy Kate Spade dresses. I was like, take them. But it made me feel so good that I was giving back, that I wasn't losing something. I felt like they were gaining so much by what I was giving to them. So I think it's just, it's a shift in perspective, right?
Most people know they want to give their things up, or they should, but they don't want them to fall into unappreciative hands. So there's a very big tool to go like, well, how can I make sure this gold falls into the right hands? And you can, with intention and research, make sure that everything, even if it's in your will, like if you get hit by a meteor tomorrow and you know, you have a special collection of, I don't know, Pez dispensers, and nobody in your family cares or knows that they're worth $1 million, who knows, you will know the whole, you will write down, oh, the person who you need to give the Pez dispensers to is this guy right here. It takes some intention, takes some thought, takes some coordination, takes some caring, and you can't be a slob. You just can't be a slob. So you don't slough off.
And I think it's good to even embrace all the emotions that bubble up to the surface when you're trying to go through all your stuff. I mean, it's natural, it's normal, and you kind of, I don't know, you almost get like in a rhythm with it. It when you first start and you're like, okay, I'm tackling the attic, you know, and you start going through the boxes. You're like, oh my gosh. You remember like on, what was it on a, remember on Christmas Vacation when he got stuck up in the attic and then he started going through all the boxes and he was sitting up, Chevy Chase was sitting up in the attic, like bawling his eyes out. He was going through all the memories, but at first it's like that, you know? And then after a while you're like, you have to like, okay, this is an object. I cannot keep carrying this around in life with me. Like I've got to free up my time and energy and space to allow for other things to come into life.
Hanging on to the past prevents you from having a future and denies you the present. You just got to make room. Yeah. It's important for people to realize that breaking an old mold, like a chicken coming out of a shell, you've got to discard what's old to make way for the growth and what's new and who you're becoming and not live in the past. I think the book that really woke me up was like the book Downsizing the Family Home. When you think it's hard to clean out your stuff, I don't know if you've had to deal with your parents' stuff, but most of us have to do that at some point. And when I was cleaning out my parents' home, where they had lived for 50 years, the only house I ever knew, it was so hard. It was way harder than my own stuff. And they moved into assisted living. My mom had dementia. My dad was still very with it, but knew this is what had to be done. And it was my job as the girl in the family. I have an older brother. He was taking care of the finances and getting them, you know, repositioned. But I'm like, oh, I'll come in from Florida to Southern California, take care of the family home, and, you know, I take a week off work, right? Oh my gosh. It's like stepping into quicksand and then having a giant grab you by the ankles. You're never going to get out of this. And everything was it was so precious to them. They saved all this stuff. And you're like, oh, I can't take it home in the overhead bin. And I have a house full of stuff. But I want to be respectful of their life and their memory and their things. Super hard. So I've gathered a lot of experts on that and wrote a book on how to get through that process and still keep your sanity. But one of the things that you have, I came away with was when everything is important, nothing is important. I have this, this is a cigar box on my desk. That was my dad's cigar box. I don't know if you can
see
this.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. And it's just pencils and stuff in there, but it's all I have and it's enough. I touch off of this and it's enough. And, you know, I've got my mom's pearls. It's enough. I don't need her sideboard, you know? So it's important to have these connective devices and bounce off of who you loved and where you came from, but you don't need to bring the whole store home.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know what I was thinking too, like everything is energy. Energy is everything. Right. And so even that box, you know, that you just held up, it has energy. It has an energy. It's emotion. Emotion is energy in motion. So it's still moving. It's still moving into the world and within you. And you just hold on to that. I my in-laws years ago, they passed away within 90 days of one another. And I was the one that went into the house to clear everything out. And all that was left was just like one box. But then you have this, I had those same feelings of like, oh, they probably wanted this to carry on, or do they, don't they? And I was feeling guilt and I was like, what do I do with all this? But you know what? That whole experience motivated me to take care of my stuff. Cause I was like, my kids would be like, what the hell, mom? Like, why did you leave us with all this shit?
Exactly. Yeah.
What a mess. You didn't want 20 colored pins over here, you know? Like, so I try to remember that. Like, I'm also doing it for everybody else too, trying to keep my life simple so that when I go someday, then they'll be like, oh man, she really, this is great. Like, it's not, I'm not going to overwhelm them with a house full of stuff. So, yeah.
So helpful. That sank into me. And that's why I live, you know, there's the whole, that whole Swedish death cleaning thing is kind of coming into vogue. But also I wrote a book in between all these books called What to Do with Everything You Own to Leave the Legacy You Want. And it was, the reason I wrote Right Sizing was because I'd written about, you know, aging, my aging parents. And then I'd written about dying with this book. I'm like, I need to write about living. So, and then for Right Sizing.
You're like, but, I'm getting a little morbid over here.
It was a heavy, but a publisher came to me and said, you know, that's great. Downsizing the family home and how you made that happen. But what about creating a legacy with everything you have? So just a couple examples, and I learned so much. I don't know when I started book, what I don't know, right? I just start researching it, and next thing I learn things, and hopefully my readers do too. But it was about taking, like, there was one couple, they didn't have any kids. They'd been married forever. They loved art. They weren't that rich. They were retired school teachers. But they loved to go to the museum, and they just said they want every single thing in their house, from the cars to the spatulas, to get liquidated. They picked somebody to do a liquidation sale and give 100% of everything to the Albuquerque Museum of Art. Wow. So they have it all figured out in their will, and it's just going to come in and get, you know, they figured it out. There was a woman in the book that was so touching. You don't have to be wealthy to leave a legacy, which is my point. And this, now they're all their things were going to go to help something they cared deeply about. And there was a woman in the Ozarks who's single, a teacher, and got old and died. And she just loved teaching. That was her whole life. And all she had, the only asset she had, was her house. And when it sold, it was worth $65,000. And she wanted to donate that to the community foundation of Ozark, the Ozark Community Foundation, to give back in education in some way. Well, the community foundation grew that $65,000 into $100,000. And now it spits off a $2,000 scholarship every year to $1,000 scholarships to students. It will do that into perpetuity. There's no end in sight. Her little gift will continue to educate kids forever.
Wow. So
just a little thought about your stuff and where it should go, so it doesn't just end in the dumpster or, you know, clogging up something. It can all be figured out if you get it in writing and you make some intentional choices. And it's woken me up.
Yeah, so. I think that's something what you just said, that like intentional choices, like conscious living, like really, really be mindful of how you're living, especially, I don't know. I mean, to me, yes, the first half of life is really important and great, but the second half is just as important, if not more, because like you're also preparing for the end of your life too. And you also want to like set yourself up so that you can enjoy as much as you possibly can and not to be weighed down by the stuff in the past, mm-hmm. the stuff or the place or the people or.
Yeah. And then you think about, you know, you're going to not be here for a long, longer than you are going to be here. Right. So what do you leave with your children who will leave it things to their children, just in terms of emotions and just being there, as well as, you know, any kind of monetary gift? But you have to think about what sort of a energy legacy are you leaving, and a love legacy are you leaving? Like, you know, if you're always at your desk, and I am guilty, writing with your nose in a book, writing a book, that is. My daughters used to say, whenever you're writing a book, the meals get really crummy.
That's me too. I know.
Sorry. trying to be there for you. But you know, you can't, you're trying to have it all, but it is important to remember, like, the column may not be so important, but my relationship is what matters. So I don't know. Yeah. You gotta balance it, you gotta get it all done, but you know, be true to what matters and think about what you're leaving in the long term.
Yeah. I want to go back to the should I stay or should I go now? Mm-hmm. Should I stay or should that I song. Go now?
Oh, yeah. They won't let me use that song in the books. I didn't get the rights to it, but yeah, you know. And I can sing it.
So if someone is out there and they decide, okay, I do need to go. I know where I'm living is not for me. How do they decide where to go?
Well, usually they have several ideas. You're like, well, you know, I might be happy in Hawaii, and I have a brother who lives in Michigan, and I have my best friend lives in Oregon, or I don't know, you know, they have some kind of, something's pulling them, or I've always wanted to live on the coast, or I've always wanted whatever. So usually in my book, there are people that have like three or four ideas, like places they could possibly go. And then you run, you figure out what's important to you, and then you extrapolate that to how well does the city in Iowa fill all those things with family and climate and cost of living and the things that matter to you. And then you can add it up and you will get a number, and it will open your eyes and you'll go, okay, because it's very hard to bring all the factors together with the right weighted average, the right emphasis.
Yeah.
And when you really write it down, you're like, well, how important is climate to me? How important is living on the beach to me? And these things will start to declare themselves. And you start off with a few places like Portugal. You know, does it have what I'm really looking for? And you might find that, you know, might have the climate, but if it's really important for you to be near family, it may fall down in the rank.
Yes.
So it does help you. Answer that question for yourself.
Yeah. And plus I would have to say too, you don't have to have I don't think there's such a thing as a perfect place to live. Like there's going to be some things where you're like, okay, I didn't get the view of the ocean, but I do have this, or, okay, I guess I could deal with not having whatever air conditioning, which are some of these places. Like you don't have to have all the boxes checked. But I would have to say, you're like, the things that are most important to you, then that really needs to be, you know, a definite.
So I define right sizing as creating or moving to a home that is the right, I don't know about perfect, right physical, emotional, social, and financial fit.
Mm.
So the right size, not too big, not too little for your life, and the right social friends and, you know, the things you enjoy doing. You want to be near your church or your school or whatever, and family and emotional connection with your family and your spouse and or your partner, making sure that you're both fed emotionally and then financially. And that's really important because you don't want, you know, a lot of us have gotten a position, I have been there, where you're working to support your house, but your house should your house should support you.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta flip that. So it's no point in getting this dream house if you're killing yourself. You're over your head, and it's just a stressor. So it's got to feel right financially. Everything has to click. That's the puzzle. And I actually have this little diagram that's four puzzle pieces coming together, the financial, the social, the emotional, and the physical.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And sometimes we forget about some of those other pieces. Sometimes we're all just concerned, what kind of dishwasher does it have? You know what I mean?
And that rest will take care of itself, that money thing, right?
Yeah. The emotional and financial pieces are really important to fit together. Yeah. Right now, like I said, I'm in California. It is so freaking expensive here. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, the RV parked here for too long. because I can barely go to the grocery store, you know? But, and I've had the big fancy houses and all that with the huge overhead and the, oh God. And it did, like whatever you had said earlier about, what did you say about the
house? That you work to support it. Yeah. The house to support you. I was paying a lot of money to the bank for the privilege of, you know, keeping up this big house.
Yes. So yeah.
What am I doing? You're sold. Well, you were in the home sales business. You're sold this lifestyle. Yep. You're sold this is what you should want. And then you get there and there's this gnawing feeling at you that it's not quite right, but it fits the profile. So it must be you.
We make these home decisions based on society, of what society says you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Instead of like, I don't really care about the Joneses anymore.
Yeah. So you've got to make it work for you. And, you know, I'm looking at, we bought a beach condo, and I'm like you. I grew up in Southern California. I was close to the beach and loved the beach. And then, you know, had a 7-year layover in Colorado, landlocked, and then I'm back to Florida, but I'm not near the water. I mean, I'm in Central Florida. It's an hour and a half to either coast, but so we got a beachfront place. And I'm thinking, maybe we can downsize the main house into something. I like being here. My friends are here. My life's, you know, in this part of Florida, but maybe I make this house a little smaller and then it makes both places really affordable.
Yes.
But I tested the water. Literally, I get that condo. I'm like, I really like it, but I don't need big. And I mean, maybe just two mediums, you know, maybe that's the fit for us. I don't know, but I'm absolutely open to looking at that as an option. Another couple in my book, I love this story. They had the big family home. They had three grown kids. I thought they would all be coming home. They had it was a lakefront, and they had a boat and a pool. I mean, it's a beautiful house. But their kids were in Wisconsin and Chicago, and they're busy working, and they don't get much time off. And the parents were going to them. They're like, this is nuts. Sold the big house, bought a zero lot line house in Florida where they have a lot of friends and connections. They've grown up here, lived here, gone to school here. But it's super lock and go. And then they got another house in Wisconsin on a little lake house where they can be near their kids and grandkids.
Yeah.
And they got two for the price of one. So they sold the big house and got these two smaller ones to accommodate what really mattered to them.
Yeah. Yeah. It really does have to fit into your lifestyle and everything.
Priorities.
There's something you said earlier about being open. I think that's key. You just have to be open to explore and willing to test the waters, like you said.
Yeah, I think that I like to say, just think about it, you know, plant the seeds, ask yourself what you would love to do and visualize it before you get involved. And then ask yourself, I'm going to look for my notes. So what is standing between you and that right size life?
Yeah.
And for some people, it's their furniture. And we've talked about that. You can get concierge furniture movers. The person who helped me with my tapestry, you can get people to sell that stuff for you. They take a piece of it and they give you cash. And who's complaining about that? And then the people say memories are holding them back.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to move because they think they're going to lose the memories. But guess what? You get to take those with you.
Right. Yeah.
they stay here and they stay here. Right. And then they're fearful. They're fear of change. And, you know, if I don't move, everything will stay the same. Well, guess what? Change is coming for you anyway. So nobody gets out. And then it's just this funky complacency. It's the too much trouble thing. It's the laziness. And I just don't want to see fear and laziness and complacency stand between you and the best life you could possibly have.
Yeah. I hear you, sister.
I know I'm preaching to the choir. What am I telling you for?
I preach that all the time. I'm like, let's go, let's go. Oh my gosh. So where can we find you?
Well, I have a website. It's marniejamison.com, M-A-R-N-I, Jamison like the whiskey, J-A-M-E-S-O-N. And you can subscribe to my free blog. Every week you'll get a little missive from me. It is the column that appeared 2 weeks earlier in newspapers nationwide, but it's not all areas. You know, some editors have something wrong with them and they haven't picked up my column. So if you live in one of those places, then you can get that news for free. And email me at marniejamison.com. I'm always looking for content and my books are available everywhere books are sold. And you can see the list of them on my website, get a little synopsis of what each one is about.
And I did, I added your book to my Amazon store. So
thank you.
So what is my Amazon store? It's amazon.wendyvalentine.com. So if you guys go there, you click on the books section and you're right on there.
Nice. Thank
you. Yeah. Excellent book. I haven't finished the whole thing. I started going through it the other day. So it was really, really good. And it's needed. It's so needed for our midlife peeps out there.
I think so. I need it. See, I always write the book I need for myself.
Yeah. So that's what I do too. Just write that. That's why I started the podcast. It was just for me, you know?
It's right. We learned that way. It's perfect.
Like you've been so awesome. Thank you so much.
Well, it's been fun. Thank you, Wendy. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you. And everyone have a great day and start decluttering.
Yeah.
Your life, everything. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Did this podcast inspire you, challenge you, trigger you to make a change, or spit out your coffee laughing? Good. Then there are three ways you can thank me. Number one, you can leave a written review of this podcast on Apple iTunes. Number two, you can take a screenshot of the episode and share it onto social media and tag me, Wendy Valentine. Number three, share it with another midlifer that needs a makeover. You know who I'm talking about. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Get out there and be bold, be free, be you.